Hello and welcome to this week's Shoot the Moon podcast, broadcasting live and direct from Revenue Rocket World Headquarters in Bloomington, Minnesota. As you may know, Revenue Rocket is the world's premier growth strategy and M&A advisor to tech-enabled services companies. With me today for, I think, a pretty interesting conversation are my partners Ryan Barnett and Matt Lockhart. Welcome, guys.
Hey, Mike. Yeah, I think interesting conversation as well, especially, you know, given the fact that we're sort of talking about what happens in post-LOI for our sellers. And, well, we've got a number of those situations going on right now. So we thought we'd share kind of real time, you know, some of the just sort of learnings and advice that we've gathered over the years. Ryan, what's going on?
Yeah, hey guys, thanks for hosting us and thanks for everyone for tuning in here today. One of the big pieces of advice that we give in an M&A process, especially when we're working with people who are selling their business, it's important to understand the concept of really don't operate like your business like it's for sale. And it's a big concept. It's hard to make a big choice in monetizing your life's work and hard to put your company up for people to peek into and not have it impact your life. But at the end of the day, buyers are buying a growing concern, and part of that is running a really successful business all the way through the sale and the close of the business. So one of the things we wanted to talk about is that concept of running that business, but also some considerations for things that could impact a sale. So if you're in a process or you're maybe even near the final line, making some critical decisions can have some long-term impacts. And we want to dig into that today. So Mike, as we usually do, we'll kick it over to you. Why don't you get us started on thinking about this concept?
Yeah, I think, you know, think about is the main thing to think about is that anytime you're going to commit resources or commit to liabilities or debt within confines of the business, if you're already under LOI, for example, you know, that's something that you probably want to discuss with your potential buyer at a minimum and or, you know, and get alignment on how that's going to be handled. Or begin to think about how, you know, if it's absolutely necessary. You know, it's kind of got to, you know, cover the absolutely necessary test. And the reason why I say that is because typically if you're making commitments that will involve debt, you know, it could be anything that, you know, maybe an asset allocation. You know, we've had situations like this where, you know, a client who may be a cloud service provider buys a big SAN array, you know, they've got some debt associated with that. And, obviously they have an asset that sort of offsets that on the balance sheet. Or maybe they bought it a year ago and they still have a significant amount of debt. They're just beginning to capitalize it, for example. Or there's other debt commitments that are being made. You need to be in lockstep with your buyer before those commitments are made. Otherwise you may find yourself paying for those out of proceeds from the transaction. With all of the benefit ultimately going to the buyer. So in short, it will make your ability to optimize the transaction for you as a seller go down. And, you know, we certainly can talk about plenty of examples of that here in the next, you know, a little bit. But the short answer is, you know, I think you need to have a very steady hand on the tiller when it comes to managing and running the business. You know, we think kind of up and to the right, focus on continuing to grow the business certainly provides a lot of lubricant for the deal. You know, if you begin to struggle or you're distracted by the deal and your business is kind of going down, it makes it harder to get it done once you're under LOI, for example. So, you know, extreme focus and discipline is required during the LOI period and before, ideally, in order to make sure that, you know, the buyer has full visibility into what they're acquiring But much more importantly, you know, don't make any unilateral decisions that'll involve, you know, contingent liabilities or liabilities that would show up in your balance sheet, during the LOI period without discussing it with your buyer first.
Yeah, I think that's a good start, Mike. It's, operating is a growing concern. Keeping the business running is paramount. Making sure that you're heading in the right direction is also paramount, and keeping things just going the right way are great. One of the questions I think we get a lot, and I know, Matt, you've dealt with this quite a few times, is the hiring of new people. And oftentimes we see companies that are looking for new sales teams and new salespeople. Do you have any additional color on how a seller may treat hiring or even letting other people go during a process?
Yeah, I mean, I think that sort of going back to a couple of principles that you guys have laid out already, right? You know, steady hand on the tiller. Nothing that would be seen as dramatic or affecting the business to the negative at post-close and or actually during post-LOI, if you will. And then in engaging what you expect to be a future partner or the buyer. Right. So think about those things as it pertains to hiring and or firing. You know, if there's an individual that you've had on a plan that is not producing for the business and you think that the right thing to do in operating the business and for the go forward is to let go of a poor performer. Well, that seems to be a very reasonable and good decision that would be in benefit for all parties. And so, you know, in that case, what you may just want to do is, you know, have a conversation and say, hey guys, just so you understand, because you'll see this in numbers and et cetera, this is what I'm doing. And that only demonstrates that a business is being well managed, right? Doing something in terms of hiring is maybe a touch trickier because you're adding cost to the business in that period, and it very well may be a good decision. You've found a superstar. you've got the opportunity to hire somebody that you've been courting for a long period of time. Right. And so, you know, again, it may add cost to the business. That cost needs to be analyzed and understood in the projections. But again, you know, probably a good idea to think about the visibility, and transparency to a future buyer, especially post LOI. Right. And so I think that those situations are oftentimes case by case scenarios, but think about it in the context of what is, you know, could be seen as an impact, right, to the business, and how that would be perceived, you know, by your future partner and buyer.
Yeah, I think well summed up. Mike, without making a huge laundry list here, I would love to hear your insight on, are there some major categories that sellers should be particularly aware of? And this can go even pre-LOI. When we were discussing this, we talked about a lease might be an example, or some other type of liabilities. What are a few things that sellers should be especially aware of?
Yeah, I think, you know, certainly leases are one that is super important. I mean, you're making a long-term commitment to space, typically in a lease extension. We get asked this question a lot, you know, is it appropriate to sign a long-term extension when you're, you know, considering the sale of your business, whether it's pre or post LOI. I certainly would not be doing it post LOI, without discussing it with a buyer. And I would strongly urge you to think about it, before, if you don't have yet a buyer lined up, but are considering an exit. And the primary reason for that, is that, oftentimes a buyer may want to move you into a different space, or may want to, in some cases, eliminate the space altogether. And they want to have choices. And there's always a negotiation that goes on around long-term leases because the buyer is signing up for that liability, essentially, and that responsibility. And so, you know, it's easier if you, you know, either are on a month-to-month or fairly short, or you have a fairly short period of time left in your lease. I'd say less than 2 years is easy. Less than 1 year is better. So kind of keep that in mind. If you think you're going to have a transaction coming in the coming year or so, you need to be very attentive to how you manage sort of your leasing commitments. Others that kind of sneak up and bite sellers are things like changing their vacation policy. I know this is a little bit of a weird one, but if you add vacation, let's say even to your most tenured employees, and you do it, and it's now suddenly has to come onto the accrual ledger, it will dramatically impact, or could dramatically impact your, either working capital reconciliation, or the, you know, be a reduction in purchase price to cover that commitment. That's a liability usually that buyers, require that the sellers, honor. They don't want to inherit that liability. So you either have to cover it off with some remuneration in the deal. And then the buyer inherits, you know, liability, if you will, so they don't disrupt the vacation, or it gets paid out, and then they begin to accrue new sort of vacation schedules with the buyer. And this can be a, you know, material number. I mean, we've seen it, you know, be into the hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not more, in some situations. So, you know, being cognizant of making changes in those policies or understanding that and what your liability exposure is there, depending on your policy, you know, is really important. Other things, you know, that become a little more gray are, you know, how are you dealing with equipment leases and commitments around equipment leases or purchases in support of the business? And this could involve furniture. This could involve, you know, things that are not, you know, fully amortized yet, as far as or capitalized, depending on how you deal with that purchase. And so I think, again, thinking about, you know, running the business as if you're not selling it, but at the same time balancing your commitments to these purchases and potential liability hangover or impact to valuation is really what ends up happening, because you need to cover off some of those costs without the benefit of that purchase coming until after, or the lion's share of that benefit coming to the buyer, is essentially what occurs. Need to be, you know, well understood and explored with your M&A advisor, and certainly discussed if you're under LOI with a potential buyer.
So if it's something happens like that, and we in between an LOI and between a close, and you find or uncover something like that, a change that is material enough, how do you reconcile that?
Well, I think if you're, you know, if you're the buyer, you're going to call it out, right? You're going to say to the seller, hey, by the way, in doing diligence, we see that this occurred. Since our preliminary diligence was completed, and it will impact purchase price. I mean, I think it becomes a discussion that has to be made to say this is expected now. You've set the expectations with the employees. The vacation is a good example of that. You've added a liability to the business that, you know, now has to be taken forth or paid for, you know, by the seller. As a way to, you you know, make it right. And that either impacts part of the working capital reconciliation, which is usually where that's managed. You know, or I guess it could be a reduction in purchase price if, for example, there's not enough excess working capital harvest made by the seller to cover that liability. Likewise, it could be, you know, any of the things that we discussed plus, you know, more that you may have not covered off on in preliminary due diligence. You may have thought it was one way and then, you know, either didn't find it or you got to it as part of your comprehensive due diligence review and cash proof work, as we call it. You know, those are things that if they're material enough, you certainly need to address them immediately with a seller and make sure they understand what their, you know, liabilities are here and that, you know, if it was positioned one way and you find it to be different, that's why you do due diligence, is to make sure that there's no surprises, if you will. But if you should find a surprise, you need to sort of immediately address it with the seller to make sure there's, you know, clarity and work out a solution. There is no one solution. And what I mean by that is, you know, as a buyer, you may agree to pay more, right? You may say, well, yeah, we'll just deal with it. We'll inherit the liability. You know, we're going to take our lumps. We're getting such a good deal that, you know, adding, you know, a minor amount of additional purchase price is not going to impact our desire to do the deal. Likewise, the seller may say, oh, yeah, I probably made a mistake there. I'll just take my lumps on it. Or there could be something in between, right? So I think it's not a one-size-fits-all solution when it comes to some of these decisions. I think the key, though, is to make sure that the decisions are being made in the light of day, pursuant to a buyer's knowledge, if you're a seller and you're making these changes, if you're under LOI. And if not, just go in eyes wide open and you're making these commitments if your plan is to sell within the next year. But some of these things, you know, you're probably going to have to cover off, in which the buyer is going to get the lion's share of that benefit that you will be paying for.
Mike, I've heard you say before, and I can't attribute the quote, but the last 5% of a deal may not, it doesn't matter as much as the first 95%. Is there a general calculation someone could do that could help put guide rails around, should I make this investment or make this purchase?
Yeah, I think generally when you start looking for deals that are, you know, north of 20% internal rate of return and, you know, you're working on a deal, you found one, you've come to it together on price and terms on a deal, you've done all the hard work, right, to get there, to see that there'll be a material return on investment, either internal rate of return or return on investment numbers line up. You know, there's some conventional wisdom that says, you know, don't blow it up over something as minor as, you know, something like this, right? If it means that it's less than, you know, 5% of the deal value overall, there's probably no business case to make to blow up the deal. Yet a lot of people auger in due diligence and look for these little nips, and then they become kind of a fatal wound, if you will, to the deal. We think that's a huge mistake, because finding the potential seller, if you're a buyer, or vice versa, finding a buyer for a seller, getting through, you know, alignment around strategy, culture, and finance, getting to a point where you can come together on price and terms, and one that meets the buyer's expectation return rate and manages to the seller's desire to either sell in or sell out, as we've talked about in other podcasts, are the big block items, right? We have to remember that due diligence, the purpose of due diligence is to confirm that what a buyer is buying is actually there, and that some of these things that may not have been discovered or even assumed will come up in due diligence, and by all rights, they should impact, you know, could impact valuation. But as a buyer, I think you need to be smart enough to know that you might not want to throw the baby out with the bathwater if some of these things are fairly minor. You just need to know they're there and look at what the impact will be on the numbers. Even if it is negative, and if it's within 5% of the deal value, you know, there's many buyers who have been very successful in M&A where they just let that go. So they can get the deal done on time and begin to realize the synergies from it, versus worrying about getting the last nickel out of it.
Yeah, that's very helpful. Those are kind of the big questions that I had, a big comment area. Matt, any other thoughts here?
I really like your description of steady hand on the tiller, Ryan. And I want to reinforce that. You know, the process is emotional. It's inherently emotional, right? Because for any seller, whether or not it's a founder-led business or a business that, you know, maybe you were brought in, a leadership team was brought in and they've been very successful with the business. It's been a good run. It's been a great experience. And, you know, you're closing the chapter and you're going to be starting a new chapter. And, you know, yeah, the old axiom is that change is good for other people or change happens to other people. Well, there's going to be a change and that is simply emotional, right? And so, you know, working with a good advisor who can help you so that you can keep a steady hand on the tiller, both in terms of your personal emotional decisions and your personal emotions and how you communicate and how you conduct yourself. And then, you know, how that carries over to your practical business decisions, is just simply critical. Because the number one thing that can cause a deal to go sideways is, you know, any dramatic changes, in the, you know, 60 to 90 days, post LOI. So, just want to reinforce that. Cool topic. You know, again, one that we're working through on an individual basis with a number of awesome clients. And so fun stuff. How do we tie it out, Mike?
Thanks, Matt. Well, with that, we'll tie a ribbon on it for this week's podcast. Thanks for tuning in. I encourage you to tune in next week. We'll unpack and explore more sort of interesting, timely, and relevant ideas around growth strategies and M&A for tech services companies. Thanks for tuning in and make it a great week.